Can you give me that ending again, Ed? Just, we're going to try the ending there once more. Back to sea, Ed. Just the ending. Try that once more very quickly, Ed. We don't want to be ready for it. I'm doing something wrong there, Ed. Will you please just one more little quickie there? That's almost got it. Almost got it. Very good. Very good. There, we beat that one. Then. Whoops. There, we got things up. Don't you worry. I'm all right, Jack. I'm as live as a bullfrog in a pond of number 30 SO oil. All right, Jack. There's room at the top for all of us. All together, gang. Now let's sing it all out. Let's put that old get your guts into it all together now. Now listen carefully and sing it out. Can't get loving when there ain't any love. Oh, I had a wonderful, wonderful little philosophy. Would you please give me the last few moments of that, Ed? Just get loving when there ain't any love. Would you like to try that once more? For all my hard of hearing friends, once more.
Can't get water when there ain't any well.
Can't get water when there ain't any well.
Oh,
yeah.
You can get peaches where there ain't any
bees. I know that.
You can get honey where
that's
there ain't
right. No bees.
You can get heartache where there
bees,
ain't any
bees.
Pain.
That's right.
You can get sunshine always after the rain.
Here we go.
Often find heaven without going above.
Yeah.
But you can't get love when there ain't any love.
You can often find heaven without going above. But you can't find loving because there ain't any love. Very good. Very good. Now, next question. None of this, for the benefit of those of you who are worried, will appear on this week's examination. However, all together now. Please. Oh, well, don't laugh. You ought to try it. It's not easy to play a nose flute with a bad cold. It presents some almost insurmountable problems, but gives you some very juicy performances. Oh, yeah, terrible, terrible, terrible. I think a little more of that love there wouldn't hurt us right now for that bad either.
Oh,
that was a baddie.
Oh,
juicy performance. Nose flute.
You can get loving when there ain't any love.
That's the Volvo commercial. Now, we once again return to the world of... for the benefit of those of you, as you notice, so many of the things on the program are devoted to benefiting you in one way or another, albeit in an often negative fashion. For example, we have finally decided to bow to overwhelming, completely misunderstanding, completely insensitive social pressure. We will no longer sing on our program. No more singing. No, my feelings are hurt. One thing about modern man is that his feelings hurt very badly, and if there's anything I am, it's that. Modern man with easily hurt feelings, bruised, very badly bruised. In fact, you even got my pancreas on that last bunch of letters. Terrible phone calls. Mr. O'Neill was calling. Nelson Rockefeller. It was an awful thing. All because I just, you know, I mean, how is it Eddie Fisher gets away with it? I mean, and that guy sings, I'm telling you, he hasn't sung in key now in 10 years. This guy sings, he sings sharp just normally, you know, funny. Even when the orchestra moves up a half tone to try to make it sharp, he sings sharper. You know, it's very hard to keep up with it. But I, you know, at least I sing on the, you know, the pitch. You want to, I'll show you now. Now, all set now? Here, let's get out the tone blower here. Not exactly the lyrics, but I'm not going to sing anymore. I'm sorry. My friends have let me down, and I know that there must have been some of you out there who appreciated what I was trying to do. And since this is obviously not the case, I'm not going to do it again. Not unless I am deluged with thousands of very contrite requests. We would love to hear you sing Margie again. Would you please sing Ragtime Cowboy Joe? We would like to have you sing The Sheik of Araby. We would also like to have you sing Red River Valley, My Darling Clementine. We would like to hear you sing the lyrics to Columbia, the Gem of the Ocean, which I have great lyrics, which the music department refuses to clear, and Mr. Leader says if I even so much as think of singing them, I'm fired. Fantastic. It's about a monkey, you know about... Oh, the monkey! Oh, no. Sorry. Excuse me. Just practice. Just clearing the pipes later, that's all. That's very great. I've got another set of lyrics I'd like to do to Red Wing. Oh, boy, that's when he gets good.
Yes, Leader! I didn't sing it, Leader! You're telling the stuff from the call through in the studio? I don't care what it is, Leader. I did not sing it. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Leader, yes. I'm sorry. No, Mr. Leader, there's a bad connection here. No, you're listening to it. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes. Your office, yes, sir. Yes, thank you. Do we have any Norman Luboff records there left over from John's show, the gambling show? Any Montavani discs? Soothe the Savage Breast. Oh, speaking of soothing the Savage Breast here, we have Peter Lynn Hayes and Mary Healy are coming to WOR Radio starting Monday, September 30th. You can enjoy Peter and Mary at their delightful Whoopiest Best every weekday morning at 9:15. That's on WOR. And now, here's a commercial here that I'm going to do for Volvo Cars. You know, it's very difficult for me to do an automobile commercial without getting terribly emotionally involved. I am a defunct foreign car dealer. Boy, at least you know I'm defunct. And I said defunct. Rotten thing you say out there. Oh, a terrible mind. I'd like to talk to you about the Volvo car, which is one of the finest automobiles ever brought into this country and one of the most practical of all of them. And I'm going to read you a bit of copy they've sent over. Have you ever kept a car for 11 years? Well, they do it in Sweden. It's not because they're cheapskates. It's a compact made in Sweden that's driven an average of 11 years in Sweden before it's traded in, and it's called the Volvo. And they have been one of the most respected automobiles since about 1956 when they first began to come in this country. This is not, by the way, a copy I'm reading. I'm just telling you as a foreign car buff that if you drive a Volvo, you're driving not a piece of costume jewelry nor a status symbol. You're really driving an automobile. Most guys who are used to the great big fat watermelons that come around here with wheels on the bottom of them, you know, an entirely new car brought out with a new concept. And they put this new grill on it, this new plastic one that breaks when you just glance at it and so on. I would like to suggest, just for your own edification, even if you're not going to buy a car, go to a Volvo dealer someday if you just happen to be driving past and go out for about 10 minutes in one of these babies. They are magnificent, and they're built to drive at 30 below zero. don't know whether you know about Sweden. Oi. One of the best places, they have a note here, European Auto Sales Route 46 in Dover, one of the 47 dealers in this area who sell and service Volvos. No problem about parts, it's just magnificent little car. Speaking of problems, this is WOR AM and FM New York. And, no, it's quite true. Did you? We just received a very indignant letter, a call, just called up from somebody just terrible indignant, says they want to hear me sing. Yes, I know that, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that, but, sir, like all other true hearts and true spirits in this world, you are completely snowed under by the slobs. Now you know how it feels to really be snowed under. You are snowed under by the slobs. S-L-O-B-S. You got it? S-L-O-B-E-S. Capital. You capitalize the whole thing. It's just killing us all. All of us. Don't think I'm not wise to you. Don't think. You think you're putting me... Listen, you think you're putting it over on me? Listening every night free? Putting me down? I know. Stealing my stuff? Coming out with it at a party? Like you invented it? Ha ha ha. Half-baked, nothing, parlor comics. Phonies, that's what you are, all phonies. Try this one at the party. You try that one, boy. Wow. Try that on your ear once and see how good you make it. Smart guy. Cheapy radio listener with your $4 Sears Roebuck radio, I know. Plastic, rotten radio. Let me tell you. Well, I think you know, the whole world, is falling apart. It's just beginning to crumble at the seams. Please, you have my English music in there. Now the BBC, in conjunction with the archives, the historical archives, the British Museum, once again bring you a salute to Britishers everywhere. A survey of British life as it lived these days in this wonderful, pleasant Isle of Kings. We'll fight them from the beachhead, from the beaches. We'll fight them from the hedgerows. We'll fight them with blood, sweat, and tears. By God, sir, I tell you, British life is beginning to ravel at the seams. We quote tonight a very sad story. Perhaps it's more symbolic than we care to admit. The angry young man, John Osborne, that young whippersnapper, the pup, perhaps might be right. My God. British Railways. This is a report from the Daily Telegraph reporter. British Railways were accused last night of shocking meanness by the colleagues of a Reading ticket collector who died only a few hours before he was to receive a gold watch for long industrious service. It was a proud moment when Mr. Bill Higgs, 61, completed 45 years on the railways. He thought it was a great honor to receive the watch, and even made out a will, leaving it to his favorite nephew, if he died. He left Reading South Station on the night of April 23. He believed that the next day, the watch, with his name inscribed on it, would be his. As he cycled home, Mr. Higgs of Elm Park Road, Reading, collapsed and died. Now, British Railways have refused to hand the watch to his nephew. By George, is this a British attitude? I ask you, Tory members of Parliament. I ask you, Whig members of Parliament. You backbenchers. Now is the time for British men to rise and stand for the things that have made Britain great. The rule states that long service watches are only awarded posthumously to widows
or in special cases to children of the deceased employee, said a bureaucratic Southern Region spokesman yesterday. Mr. Higgs lived with his married brother, John. His brother's wife, Mrs. Florence Higgs, said, and we quote, "Yeah, he was a very dedicated railway man." He had made out a will so that her son, Raymond 17, would get the watch, together with his other pitiable valuables, a gold chain and a sovereign. We have been shocked by this heartless action. Former colleagues at Reading South Station said last night that on the night he died, Mr. Higgs looked so bad, they asked if he wanted to go home early. He stuck it out, like a real Britisher. He stuck it out to the end and left on time that night at 11:16, 1 minute past his regular quitting hour. A quarter of an hour later, 15 minutes later, he was dead. The station master, a Mr. Potter, agreed that Mr. Higgs had been a devoted worker throughout all of his 45 years with the British railway system. "But I suppose rules have to be enforced," said Mr. Potter. "What, we ask now, will happen to the watch now that it is inscribed with a dead man's name?" The Southern Region spokesman said with pure bureaucratic cold-heartedness, "Well, I suppose a new back could be fitted and inscribed with another employee's name." And so tonight we salute a Britisher, the deceased Mr. Bill Higgs, 45 years with the British railway system. 45 years. By God, sir, that was an Englishman. Once again, the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, in its overseas third program service, has brought you a salute to British way of life. A Britisher will be a Britisher, will be a Britisher, by God, sir. A gentleman is a gentleman wherever you find him. And to those of you who are out there in the colonies, Stalkart, we are here. Stay tuned for the Lady Potterly Gornsley, who follows with her interesting program of philately, hints, and kicks, brought to you on the BBC, followed by Professor Dowager Elthout's interesting program on the art and history of tattooing in the British colonies. Good evening. Oh, you want to hear another British little bit there? One more. Wait, just hold on there for a second. I got it. Hey, George, it makes you feel good. You can hang on to something. Just hold on. Wait one second. Come on. The British Army has refused to supply Maurice Fogel, 47-year-old magician and illusionist, with a firing squad so he can catch 9 bullets with his teeth. Major General Eustace Blois Nelson, who recently turned down Mr. Fogel's plan to have the trick done on television, said, "It is not a suitable job for Her Majesty's guardsmen." That wouldn't stop Ed Sullivan. He'd get the Yale marching team, by George, in 10 minutes. Or the Princeton debating squad. I'm sorry. And some guy says, "Tell that rat Fink to sing." Listen, boy, I'm not going to sing unless I'm appreciated. I'm sorry, you know. I'm tired of cavorting like a... You know, the other night, I'll tell you, the other night I had my bouzouki going, I was playing my balalaika, I had my nose flute going, and I was playing my guitar and singing all at the same time. What did I get? What did I get? Oh, boy. What did I get? A note from Bob Smith. What did I get? Boy, let Martha Dean try that, Smitty. Ha ha. Let me tell you.
Barry Farber, do it. You think it's great. He'd sing through his nose, his left nostril. That's what he'd do. At least I use both of my nostrils, crying out loud. Well, all right, I'm not going to. Yeah, you know, what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to. Yeah. Smart guy. So you think all life is falling down? Well, all right. We got our little people everywhere, you know. They're noticing where it's happening. Here, for example, you know, a couple nights ago, we made a brief fleeting mention that there's a lot of confusion entering in people's lives today as to where they stand. It's hard. That many, many angry ladies are writing long pieces in what seem to be friendly household magazines, you know, friendly women's magazines, on how if you try very hard, women, you can be men. If you try very hard. And the reason you're not men is because the rotten men are standing in the way. In fact, I heard one of them being interviewed the other day. She had a voice much deeper than mine, I'll tell you that. And I'll tell you this, she could put her beard up against mine anytime. I'm sorry, you know. She was endorsing these new sick Corona, what is this, shaver things? I hadn't even tried them, you know. This is the newest gambit in publishing all these various things on. It's kind of a deep inner expose of the soul. You know, how to be happy, although living in a world with 46 billion rotten son of a gun men. 14 ways to be happy at home and swing, and learn how to tap. And make the scene down the way. Well, that's another story. there's no question about it. The girls are buying the combat boots these days, men. And, well, they are. The biggest market today for truck drivers' coats is for the chicks that hang around the White Castle. Well, that's another scene. It's never talked much about. Now, it starts early in life. For those of you who are wondering where this starts, a lot of you think, well, you know, this is just a little local phenomenon. It is not. It is starting out very early. For example, I have here as a little thing that's going into my my great file of trivia here. It's a page from the Reading Eagle, Sunday, September 22nd, 1963. This is Reading, Pennsylvania. It's a present little town nestled there in the hills of Pennsylvania, out there near the Pennsylvania Dutch country. Now you know that's not the village. It's not McDougal Street. That's making it out there in the woods. There are bears around out there, and there are simple, honest folk eating simple, honest Reading, Pennsylvania-type pizza pie, walking around, going to simple, honest, Reading-type motel movies and all that stuff. Well, now here is their page from the Sunday paper. This is going into my trivia file, Ed. We'll be saved for the year 2750 when they'll open it up. A little music. I'll give you the cue there. A little music. Here it goes. It's headlined, Trying on Life. Trying on Life. Now, wouldn't it have been nice when you were a kid that before you started out, you could have tried on life before you began it? You know, just try out how things are going to work out. Well, one of the things, of course, the way the kids try on life out in Reading, apparently, is they have this little theater. Of course, that's called life. To many people today, showbiz is life. You know that. No question about that. I suspect that we're going to see the day when little kids in second and third grade are playing Stanley Kowalski in the Streetcar Named Desire, and there'll be a little 9-year-old girl will be playing Blanche DuBois, Ruined Southern Beauty. And they will be trying on life before they get out there. Tennessee Williams version, but they're going to be trying on life. So here is the picture that should be shown. It says, Children's Little Theater School organized here to teach creative drama. Let boys and girls, and we quote again, let boys and girls experience the art of living. And the picture that illustrates it is a picture of three boys and girls. Now, they're roughly, well, I would say they're, Well, they're playmate age, the three girls there. They're playmate age. They're not little itsy-bitsy tads. They're playmate age. And the middle one is playing Huck Finn. Now, it's the most un-Huck, Huck Finn. Huck's had a little gland problem, but get close to these hormones that do all kinds of things. But nevertheless, Huck Finn is standing there in the middle, and it's a great big strapping girly, and she's playing Huck Finn, and she's got a friendly little Huck Finn-type straw hat, and she's got a little... By the way, you would never believe it, but Huck Finn doesn't carry a cane pole anymore. He's got a spinning rod. He's got a spinning rod there, right out of a spinning rod catalog. And the top line says, just think and try to imagine what Huck Finn would say as he climbs out of his tree house. So the little girl is playing Huck, and then my my informant underneath it says, you know, come to think of it now, I can't remember what sex Huck Finn used to be. Well, now, I wonder whether in this school they allow the boys to play Becky Sharp. I wonder, do they allow the boys to play? I wonder whether they, because I'm sure that there are a few of them would like to try it. I don't like to make any illusions, but I'm sure that a few of them would. Do you remember here a few seasons ago when one of our eminent actresses played Hamlet? Oh, boy. Oy, 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 I'll never forget that night. My head buzzed for over 4 hours after that one. And I understand that one of our famous actors now is preparing a program of famous ladies from Shakespearean drama. And the highlight of his program will be his beautiful rendition of Lady Macbeth. Try on life, boys and girls. Here, kid. Hey, kid. Hey, you. Hey, you, the short, fat guy. Come here, kid. You're going to play Tugboat Annie, kid. Yeah, your plan is Tugboat Annie. Hey, come here, baby. Come here. Chick, come here, baby. You're going to play... What's the matter? What are you talking about? Look, you're playing Henry V, baby. Come here. Oh, what a Gollum Moffrey. It's getting nuttier by the minute. Nuttier. And what makes it, I think, so nutty is not that the stuff is happening, but the people don't seem to know that it is happening, you know? That's what really makes it nutty. And when you point it out, they say you're negative. And they say that you're the nut, you know? What are you, what is it? Nut? What is this nut talking about? What's the matter with the nut there? The back of my hand to you. Another angry call comes. You sing, you rat think, and you're through forever. All right, okay. You see, there you are. I'm telling you, there's only a few pure spirits out there. There's only a few gentle souls. You're out, completely out-mobbed. The slob crowd, the pop art crowd, the whole thing is going to... Oh, speaking of pop art... It's everywhere. I want all of you, by the way, to just do this. This is for, if you happen to be walking around, you know, just walking around scratching, looking for something to do, go to Brentano's bookstore at Fifth Avenue. You know that jazzy bookstore on Fifth Avenue there? Oh, you've been there. You know the one between 44th, you know, 44th and 45th? You know that one. Very official bookstore. Well, in the sports section, Ed, they got a section marked sports. There is a series of volumes entitled Combat Aircraft of the World. The truth is coming out. That's under the sports section. Now, if you happen to be out scratching and you go to Brentano's, you go in the sports section, see? I'll tell you what you do. Yeah, go in the sports section and say combat aircraft of the world. And you look at this, and you just look at the girl and say, some sport, baby. And then affect a terrible limp as you walk out. Yeah, seriously. You know, say, some sport, baby. And then you drag your leg out. You know, they figure you got about 550 caliber slugs from an ME-109 going away at 7 o'clock. You see, when you were down there in your ball turret of the B-17, it's another bullfight all over again. Don't you understand? It's pure joy. It's pure beauty. It's the pure existence of pain versus the sublime realization of eternal beauty. Don't you understand that? I'm sorry, that's a Gollum Mofri. But I remember speaking of strange sports, which again you got to realize that the sport is a sport. I guess a sport is anything that people really get a kick out of. Now they don't often call them sports. Some of the real sports that we go after, that we really dig. Do you know that there is a radio station, and I hate to do this because it's going to give somebody an idea. I'm sure of it. It's going to give one of the louts in radio in this town, one of the big executives in this town. It's going to give them an idea. But I heard a radio station doing something that you just would not believe. You know, one of the interesting problems with living in New York is that New York is hung on New York. It rarely looks at the world. No, it really doesn't. And when you get into New York, as I am and a lot of other people, because New York is so all-encompassing, it just sucks you in like a great big whirlpool, you know it? It's like a tremendous lake of quicksand. The next thing you know, you're up to your hocks and going down. And you begin to believe that the whole world is New York. And everybody, of course, living in New York has a different world within New York. So there's a whole crowd that believes that the world stops in New York at 14th Street. You get north of 14th Street, forget it. It's a big cliff. You just fall off. And it stops again down on the other end about Houston Street. When you say roughly, it's about there. And it goes approximately over to 3rd Avenue. There's a few little outposts beyond 3rd Avenue East. But it stops at 3rd Avenue, and it goes roughly to Hudson Street on the other side. So that's the world. Then again, you have other guys who believe that the world stops at, say, roughly Central Park. There's not anything in New York after that is a big cloud of sort of misty smoke, you know, up there. You get the other side of 59th Street. It's just a, oh boy, you know, whoo, what's that? I don't know what, nothing about the uptown there. So everybody has his own little world. Now, New York itself is a world, which means, of course, that we spend our time examining each other's navel. And so in New York radio, for example, you'll find one radio station continually copying another. It's like a gigantic merry-go-round. And it's going round and round and round. And they know nothing about anything outside of New York. There could be the wildest radio shows in the world going on 50 miles away from New York. They wouldn't know it here. They're still here hashing over rock and roll and that old stuff, going on and on and on. And that's why we are, it's like a flywheel, too, by the way, the imitative cycle. That once it starts in a direction, it continues to go because it feeds off itself. And so you have no concept of what's going on, say, in Altoona. Believe me, a lot of wild stuff you never heard, which you will hear later. See, we like to think that New York instigates stuff. No, I'm sorry that rock and roll was a big issue outside of New York long before you guys ever heard of it. In fact, one of the top DJs who made the rock and roll scene in New York was big for years in Ohio playing rock and roll before New York ever heard of it. Yeah, his name was Alan Freed. In those days, he called himself Moondog, and he was on a Cleveland radio station. You don't think he started down at Wins, do you? Come on, forget it. This was a big deal long before New York ever heard of it. Well, so it is with most other things. And you think, you know, all the loud traffic report? Oh, let me tell you, they had helicopters out there. They've got blimps out of town reporting on the traffic. They've got guys that row around in boats with spyglasses report on it. Oh yeah, they've got the whole, you don't know. Well, now I'm going to tell you one of the things that eventually will be heard here in New York. I heard it out of town as long ago as a year. You won't believe it. Yeah, because everything, if you can imagine, you know, you think of the worst, loudest, rottenest rock and roll top 10 disc jockey station you can think of in New York. You got that in your mind? guys are yelling about the time all day long, yelling about the temperature, and yelling their station break all day long, you know, yelling their station break. WOR, WOR Time, WOR News, WOR Records, WOR Me, WOR, WOR, this is WOR here, and this is old WOR, Fred, WOR, WOR. You know what I'm talking about, bugles, trumpets, and guys hitting the whole business. Just, well, you know that kind of station. Well, I'm going to tell you something that probably you will not want to accept as a New Yorker. But there are stations that make these stations sound like sedate, friendly, old WQXR operations. You wouldn't believe it. Well, I'm telling you, this is true. In fact, I know one radio station out of town that is one long, unearthly, shrill scream 24 hours a day. Never ceases. Just turn it on and it is a shriek. And it's got this shriek gives you the news, the time, the temperature, and everything in one loud scream. One loud scream. And the news consists of the Russians are coming. 814. It goes on and on and on. It's just like I'm telling you, it's if you think LSD 25 is a fantasy, Dad, all you got to do, believe me, those guys that are working on internal freedom, let me tell you, there are towns outside where you get it just by a transistor radio plugged right into the cranium and with the volume turned up. You have fantasies like, drugs, nothing. When are they going to talk about that addiction? That is a worse addiction than drugs, you know. Because there's no laws against it. These guys, in fact, people get awards for it. But now, I'm going to tell you about this radio station just to make it graphic, to just show you how far behind the times we are here in New York. This radio station goes like this. You see, you're listening, it's going. All the teenagers are yelling, and then they got a show called Acne Time. It's great. And they come out, and then they stop. All of a sudden, you hear, whoop, 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 whoop. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, this is your accident reporter. We're on the corner of 17 and Vine. There are seven bodies on the street now. The blood is flowing down the curb. Here comes a boom! Ladies and gentlemen, this accident is continuing down at 17 and Vine. Whoop, 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 whoop. Boom! Well, I'm telling you, on-the-scene accident reports, and they don't even talk about traffic. And they do not give you news, time, or anything. They just describe the blood. Here's another one that I heard. It goes like this. Yeah, you're listening and it's going, dung. I'll tell you what they do. They do in radio what the crash photos on page 3 do for fearless journalism. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Here's what you'll hear. You'll hear the guy playing a record. See, it'll go, Emily, 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 whoop, 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 whoop. There's a law and alley on the corner of 17 and Vine. Two men have just committed suicide here. Yes, I see one man's liver. There go two teeth. Oh, it's a beautiful, it's a great sight. 17th and Vine, you can still make it. The wagon is on its way, but you can still make it. Whoop, 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 whoop. Molly, Molly. Now, the point that I want to stress here is that these guys are not breaking into any programs, Ed. They are programs. There's no breaking into any program on a radio station like that. There are no programs. It is one long, continuous cacophony. And more than that, as these guys come in, it is not done as news. It is done as another feature. You know, like giving you the time, the temperature, and how many guys are dead at 17th and Vine. And the color of the blood. It's fantastic. Wait till they discover that here. Oh, boy. Can't you just hear that going on night and day? Well, New York is way behind in a lot of ways. It is behind for reasons. Now, I'm not saying that that is being ahead, but I suppose you might say it is in a sad way, because after a few years, we will begin this here in New York. Somebody will be transferred from some radio station out in the Middle West, and he will bring the idea with him. That's the way we will learn about it here, sadly enough. It rarely originates here in this town. And of course, I'm not even discussing radio as a simple single phenomenon. It is true in our theater. It is true in our theater that well, I'll give you an example of that. About 1945-46, they discovered the New York theater discovered the emptiness of the salesman's way of life. Well, of course, Midwestern writers as far back as Dreiser were writing about this maybe 40 or 50 years before. But it struck like a thunderclap in New York. Comedy, humor, is not particularly a New York phenomenon. In fact, New York does not deal in comedy at all. It deals in little jokes, which is another problem, I suppose, of the inverted in world. It's the world of in. It's sad to note, but true, that almost all of the top humorous and comics in the past 10 years have not come from the New York City area. It's just the fact that Mike and Elaine, you don't think they're New Yorkers, you know? Newhart, we can name them up and down the line. Saul, Bruce, so forth. But that's just in passing, and just a sort of movement in passing, because that's just one small phase of life. But you'd be surprised what's going on out there. One other thing. There is a radio station in the same area that, believe it or not, and they do this in the middle of their show. In the middle of the afternoon, you'll hear. And then on comes an organ. It goes. And now we bring you the funeral of the day. At the Forever Rest and Forever Peaceful Haven Funeral Parlor this afternoon, Dr. Fred L. Comeroy is being laid to rest. And now our roving funeral reporter brings you an eyewitness report of the mourners as they file from the Haven of Eternal Rest.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm standing behind the doorway here. Here it comes, ladies and gentlemen. In just a moment, the casket is now coming out. There it is. It's a beautiful bronze casket with the mother-of-pearl handles. I can see a large chrysanthemum horseshoe. Yes, they're laying the doctor away in style. And so we salute today's funeral and back to our regular program.
A series of 32 New York Philharmonic